Hayes, if you listen to The Drive Home, you know it wasn't a great game. And if you listen to The Drive Home and haven't seen a scoreboard yet, Ohio State ended up beating Maryland.
Welcome, Canes fans.
Welcome, Canes fans. Mama Hayes and I are in person together, so hopefully this is a little bit smoother than us talking over each other on Zoom, which we hope bodes well. We think we kind of... The team gets our spirit when we talk over each other over Zoom, and when it goes smooth, it seems the team plays better. And when we talk over each other, the team doesn't play as well. So this should bode well.
I'm hoping it does.
Anything we can do to try and force a win, we're going to do our best. We talked a little bit about the Clemson game. We talked about the frustrations of it, but you've done a lot of research over this past week, and not only the holiday throwing us off a little bit of why we're later, but you did a lot. What are some of your key takeaways from that game?
My key takeaway is that our offense stinks. I looked at my notes, and there's just nothing that stands out that's positive.
I saw that Ja'Curry Brown, our quarterback for now, he only made 4 passes past 9 yards and only completed one of them.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Oh, my gosh, that's even worse.
So, I mean, we saw this earlier when he got in a few times. They don't trust him passing. It continues to seem they don't trust him passing. I know he's a project and was supposed to develop, but it's college football at this point where you kind of come in and some guys take off right away, and I just don't think he's taken off right away.
No. What can I add to that? I mean, his passing was terrible. That pass to Restrepo, that should have been a touchdown the second possession or first? It was in the first quarter. I'm not sure which possession it was now. Second possession. Oh, my God. Enough. And I think he's trying hard.
I mean, he wants to be in there, yes. And he's doing everything that he can. So I don't blame the kid. I kind of blame the offense and the coaches for changing this offense around multiple times over the season. So not only did Van Dyke not get in rhythm, not only did Jake Garcia not get in rhythm, but now we've now messed up a third quarterback.
Yes.
That UC has not made any progress over the season.
Yes. So, having said that, did you see anything positive to the offense?
No, I did not. And that's what I have on the offense.
Okay, so let's move right on to the defense.
I think it was unfortunate. The defense played their best almost a little bit too little too late, I felt. They played really well in that third quarter, forcing turnovers like I had hoped and predicted going into this game. I thought it was great to see that. It seems, again, where you see the hope and you ask me, are you still optimistic at the end of the drive home? And I will again answer with the defensive performance at the end of that game. At least you see the building blocks. You have Cam Kitchens back there. We know what Akeem Mezidor can do. We know of the great defensive tackle play and building blocks that are Daryl Jackson and Leonard Taylor.
Yes.
You have a very good defensive line. You have a secondary that's starting to understand, especially the starters, understand what their roles are in this and creating turnovers, which I said and was worried about at the beginning of the year that we were going to lose that part of our game.
But we didn't. There were forced turnovers by almost everybody that you mentioned. Well, Ivy, Kitchens, Miller, Mezidor.
Yeah, it was great. It was great to see that. And I would say if you ask what the positive was of that game, it's seeing how they fought in there. But right now, you pretty much just need to score 2 touchdowns and you're going to beat Miami.
That's right. I'm sorry.
It's no laughing matter, Mom. That's not a joke. That is serious.
Oh, that's so sad. That is so sad. Oh, my gosh. Is this ever going to turn around?
It's looking bleak because it's just another year and another rebuild. And Remember, we were promised a Mario Cristobal that comes in with money and resources and transfer portal and the players that we wanted to keep, we kept for the most part. And so it was supposed to be a, at least we'll show signs of life, but now it's, well, Mario just doesn't have the right guys that want to work hard and put the time in. And it's definitely, that's been the spin put on the season, which...
That's ridiculous.
I agree.
These guys are in there working. They're working their tails off, and they really want to win. And you can see that you've made that point during the podcast about how, who was it that went up to the game?
Elijah Arroyo.
Yeah. I mean, oh my gosh. They want to win. They want to support each other. They're there. They chose Miami for a reason.
I'm not in there. I'm not around it. I just don't love the attack on a lot of these kids of, well, they're just not working hard and people aren't here to put it in and put the work in. And maybe they aren't, and Mario's there and he's trying to establish this culture, but it definitely feels that he is pushing out a lot of guys, and I think that's too bad.
I do too. Good guys. Good, solid guys.
And we've already started to see a lot of players hitting the transfer portal, but we can get that in a little bit more. I mean, let's focus on the guys that are still here right now.
Okay.
And I think we talked about this off podcast and during this week. You know, we have the Clemson game, and that seems to have been a barometer for most of the coaches that we've had, the last four coaches. You start with Al Golden and getting blown out in his last game. You have Mark Richt getting blown out against Clemson in the ACC championship. And you have the game where we had a pretty good team with Manny Diaz that lost at Clemson to a strong Clemson team as well. And now you're starting to look at, okay, this seems to be the barometer, especially with Clemson being so successful. We have upcoming games with them.
Well, and the Clemson's team this year wasn't even that. It's a good team. I'm not taking away from them, but not the team that it's been for the last few years. And we couldn't even take advantage of that. Wow. How can you take advantage of it when your offense is not working? How many different ways can I say this? There's no offense. There's none.
There is none. And so my point on this, going back to it, is next year we have Clemson at home.
And
unclear of when we play them. And the next year after that, we are then on the road against Clemson in 2024. So you have three games against Clemson in Mario Cristobal's first three seasons here.
Right.
You have this year, next year, next year. That's how three games in a row work. I'm glad I'm mansplaining it to you.
I think I've got it.
Great. You got to hope in 2 years from now, is there progress? And that's what, you know, I've said I'm kind of out already on it of not going to a bowl game. I know he's not going anywhere with Mario, or it's not going anywhere. So I've got to buy in no matter what at this point that he's going to be the one that turns it around. You got to hope in 2 years at Clemson again, you see the progress. Because if it's a game like this and it's still the same thing 3 years from now, 2 years from now, I don't think we're going to turn around.
We've seen them win it. At Clemson, in their stadium. It can be done.
12 years ago, we were there for it. Last time we beat Clemson.
That was the last time?
Yep. So, at least we can tell, over the next few years, we know what it looks like for the Canes against a team that has been dominant in the ACC. And if they can get to that point where they beat it, Clemson, that'd be great. I mean, you look at Notre Dame... And I know you don't like looking at Notre Dame, but Notre Dame a couple years ago beat Clemson at home. They then was kind of close to the ACC championship that year. They've ducked down a little bit, but this year they beat Clemson at home again. I mean, we've got to make it at least competitive next year if you want to see it in the right way.
Yes. I don't have anything to add to that. Yes, we need to not just be competitive. We need to win a game. We need to start winning these games.
Yeah, we need to win any game. But we opened up a new segment last week, And we're going to transition into it smoothly here with mom comments. What do you have on mom comments for this week?
This is my mom. I don't know what to call this. I had an idea and then the idea has escaped me. But it's kind of like for the moms that can't be on the podcast, brag, the mom brag section. So Khalil Brantley had his first touchdown reception.
That's your mom moment of the game.
My mom moment.
Proud mom moment for the players out there.
So to go back to the game.
All right, we're done with mom comment. Mom moment.
Well, I don't have anything else on Khalil Brantley because he wasn't in the game that much, I don't think.
Okay, perfect.
But to go back to the game, Stinko offense. We had 98 total yards on offense. 98.
And 90 of those came in the second half because we had the 8 yards of offense in the first half.
And that's the third fewest that Miami has had ever in its history. Not just with Clemson. Ever. Ever.
It's hard in college football these days to not get yardage.
Right.
I mean, you get the 8 yards of offense in the first half. You could have quarterback sneaked it 8 times and gotten more yards than that. You could have gotten at least 15 yards.
Yes. So another stat is that we were successful 3 times out of 11 third down attempts.
3 for 11 on third down.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the way to say it.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But Clemson was 14 for 19.
If you don't get them off the field and you stay on the field, that's why that defense holds on as much as it can, but they don't get a lot of rest.
Okay. That's about all. I wish I could come up with something positive.
Well, too bad.
So I'm ruminating on the red beans and rice and chocolate chip muffin issue, and I guess by this time in the podcast, you know that there's not a single player on offense that even comes close to qualifying for this. And I would love to give it to Kitchens, but Kitchens has already been named at least twice in this motley season. So I'm going to give it to, and Messidor has already been given the award once, but I'm going to give it to Messidor again because he just, again, was all over the place. He had 5 tackles, he had 2 sacks, he had 2 tackles for loss, and he had a forced fumble. I mean, what more can you do for the team than that? You got to have somebody on offense who's scoring points. So I will give Messidor the red beans and rice, and the other defensive player that I'm going to recognize is Bissain, who I feel like he didn't have perhaps the best statistics for this game, but he was, again, in the game, working hard, trying hard, and doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he has been throughout the season, and I have not given him an award, and so he's moved up to the award status. He gets a chocolate chip muffins this time.
There you go. That's awesome. I've got nobody on offense. I agree.
So there you go. There's my comments and my award. Moving on to Pitt.
Here we go. It could be the last game of the season for us here. Battling for bowl eligibility.
Honestly, I hope it is the last game of the season.
That You are ready for this season to be over.
I really am.
Why?
It's just been so disappointing, and I don't want to see us go out there and embarrass ourselves in another bowl game.
That's correct. That's a good point. I mean, I know I've thrown it up on polls and all of that, of going back and forth of should we or should we not have a bowl game, and I've kind of flip-flopped. I would say that now I've changed my thought on this, mainly because of thinking about players and the defense of the positives, and it would be great to see Mezador, Jackson, and Taylor Kitchens, that defense, get another chance to play a little bit. You know that the offense isn't going to be there, though, so I'd like to get them some more practice time together to develop at least those pieces. I think that would be valuable. The fact that we saw some positivity in the last couple weeks has changed my mind.
I just can't see pitting our... No.
Ooh, no pun intended.
Well, I'm talking about a bowl game, but yes, I can't see our offense going up against pretty much any offense that we would be facing in a bowl game.
I agree. I don't think that we're going to score a lot of points. And before we even get to the bowl game that we're not eligible for yet, I don't see us scoring a lot or enough points against Pitt this coming weekend to get into a shootout with them. Again, jokes aside and also serious at the same exact time, I don't see us scoring enough points. Pitt gets 21 points against us, and I'm not sure if we come back or can get enough to beat them.
I agree. They have more than one thing going for them, which is at least one more thing than what we have going for us. They've got this running back, Abanaconda, who is an amazing player. He has had 8 in a row 100-plus yard games.
And what's good news is our strength is the defensive line and playing against that, but I imagine he's going to try and get another 100 yards.
Right.
So if he gets going, that's going to be an issue for us. I think that's the key to the game.
Right. Their O-line is I don't know that they're all fifth-year seniors, but they're seniors, and they're experienced, and they've been, obviously, if they're fifth-year seniors or seniors, either one, they've been playing together for 4 years. I don't see how this is going to...
I think we know what your prediction's going to be here in a minute.
Not a positive. I'm not looking at this in a positive way. I don't know, because our offense can't seem to pull it together, I don't see any way we can win this.
It's going to be tough. Pitt's coming in on a 3-game win streak. They started with a win over Syracuse 19-9. Then they beat Virginia 37-7. Then last week they beat Duke 28-6. Obviously, that Syracuse game was closer, and Syracuse has got enough good. But I also think that speaks too that the Pittsburgh defense is also pretty good.
They've allowed, my notes say no rushing yards on, but it's not like no rushing yards. It's minimal rushing yards in all of their games this season, and we seem to think we have a rushing offense.
They were also favored early in this year to be an ACC favorite, and while they dipped down and didn't get to where they needed to be, and UNC beating the teams that they needed to in the Coastal, mm-hmm. That UNC-Pittsburgh game goes the other way, and we could be talking about Pittsburgh representing the Coastal here going into this last game, having to win it to get in. And so they're not that far off from it. They found a better rhythm after losing bad games to Georgia Tech and Louisville early in the season, which I think was surprising for a lot of Pittsburgh fans. Don't forget also that the Tennessee team that went on to beat Alabama, they played Pitt and Tennessee played them to overtime early in the season. So I know I'm supposed to try and convince you that it's going to be all right and we can find something. I'm also kind of agreeing you with predictions. And I imagine an 8 p.m. game at Hard Rock over Thanksgiving weekend is not going to have much of an atmosphere.
No, the fans will not be there. And they're not there. They're not in town. So,
and even if they were in town, you've got the Dolphins game the next day at midday.
They got better things to do on Saturday night.
You've got World Cup games going on everywhere. Yeah. You've got the beach. You've got that. It's going to be a sad environment at that stadium. There's no home field advantage and any type of heat advantage that you would have during the day, you're not as going to have as much during the night.
No. To add to the pile of negatives, I'm looking at my notes. They have aggressive safeties. I see us scoring maybe 3 field goals.
I saw from maybe. Barry Jackson with the Miami Herald that Van Dyke might come back. I don't know if that means anything. I'm not sure. If he plays, then maybe we have a chance, but I think if we see Brown or Garcia, we know what we're going to get out of that, and it'll be
nothing.
A couple spurts here and there, but that's about it.
So,
let's do predictions. I think we know where this is going.
Predictions. Okay, I'm going to say that we lose. I hate to say it, but I'm going to say we're going to lose. Let's say... I think they will score 28 points and we're going to score 9.
Okay. I'm pretty close to that. I don't think it's going to be a fun game by either team. I don't think it's going to be anything close. I think it's just going to be a lot of moving the ball about 20 yards to 30 yards with an explosive play here or there for one of the teams to score. But that's about it. And I'm also going to go low scoring with it being 24-14 Pittsburgh. So there we go. Man, we are limping to the end of the season. We had so many hopes at the beginning. And it's another year of podcasting where we just go, bleh.
Sorry, Canes fans.
We're doing what we can. We're sticking with this. So... maybe, I don't know, maybe this could be our last episode and switch things up, but I don't think so. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Because we're Canes fans.
We'll be back.
And we know y'all are, all 5 of you.
We'll be all 5 that listen to this. Thank you. And thank you for listening to the ads this year. We really pumped up our budget a lot.
Thank you.
Well, we'll be back at the drive home, possibly.
That's right.
Tomorrow night after the game.
If we can
stay up that late. And then be able to podcast later this week. So... We'll still be around for a few more episodes and decide, and Mom will update you on another Ohio State game.
No, I doubt it.
All right, let's get these good fans out of here, Mom. You ready?
Okay.
C-A-N-E-S, Canes. This has been another depressing episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes featuring Mama Hayes.
Go.